We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Hey, you're not just stuck with me this week. It's the real deal. You got the doubleheader, Bowerly and Bellavia, and the 4 o'clock cash code word. This is what you want to text to 72881. Not our ordinary text number. This is a different number. It's 72881, and the word is preview. Like, don't you love going to a movie, and you get there just in time for the last preview of coming attractions? It's P-R-E-V-I-E-W. Preview is the word to text to 72881, and you might win $1,000 out of it from News Radio 930 WBEN. The cash code word again is preview, P-R-E-V-I-E-W. Text it to 72881. And hey, thanks for playing along with the cash code. We like to see people winning from Buffalo, Western New York, and David and I particularly like it when they come from our show, because they do tell us. They tell us because they take the money out of our checks. It's 9 minutes after 4 at News Radio 930 WBEN, Bowerly and Bellavia, and we're talking about the vaping industry again for a little bit. And, Governor Cuomo announcing, do you not believe it is somewhat disingenuous for Governor Cuomo to come out and say, well, we've had a vaping death in New York State, and conflate that with the legitimate vaping industry when numerous media reports say that the 17-year-old in the Bronx was vaping illegal THC. It's not what they sell at the vape shops. And I am not a vapor. I do not vape. So I don't have a horse in this race, with the exception, and this is my full disclosure, and you'll forgive the repetition, but I got to be honest with you guys, my niece is married to the founder and president of Yeti Vapes. I don't see a dime from them. And if you think that I'm going to refuse her Christmas cookies at my brother's house on Christmas night, well, you'll just have to call that Plugola, because she makes the best Christmas cookies ever. Jackie. It is 10 minutes after 4 at News Radio 930 WBEN. David is saying, what just happened here? Shall we take some more phone calls, David, on the vaping issue, or are you pondering something in your addled mind?
We'll take a few more, and then we'll move on to something else.
All right, let's go to Dave in South Buffalo on WBEN. Dave.
Yeah, I had a question for your guest who is now gone, but one of the components of vaping is glycerin. Now, glycerin is a sugar alcohol. It's derived from oils. Now, glycerin is used in fog machines producing water vapor and glycerin particulates. Now, I don't have asthma, but I have experienced difficulty breathing fog from fog machines. Now, breathing sugar alcohol into your lungs can't be good for you. I can see how it could feed bacteria. So my question is, is glycerin necessary for delivery, and can you vape without using glycerin?
Yeah, I wish I had the answer for you, but that's a little bit out of my price range. If it's any consolation, the ingredients in every legitimate vaping product have to be reported to the FDA. So apparently the FDA has no issue with the ingredients in legitimate vaping products. That's the best I can do, bro.
And again, I would agree that anything that you vape, it could be water. If you had green tea and you were inhaling that into cloud form, I think that would be something that most doctors would say is not a good idea to introduce that into your life. But it is far better than, what the alternative is.
Yeah, I look at vaping, Dave, as a far safer alternative to smoking cigarettes. And we've heard from a number of people who've gotten off cigarettes by vaping, Some of them still vape. Others are now off the vape. Is that your only concern, Dave, the glycerin stuff?
Yes, I don't dispute the fact that it's better. I would, you know, you're not breathing in hot smoke and tars and all that stuff. But I am concerned about breathing a sugar alcohol into your lungs. I can see how it can promote the growth of bacteria.
Well, and look, I'm sure that just like anything else you put into your body, I'm sure there are some people who have an adverse reaction to some of the ingredients in some of the vapes. I mean, just like, you know, if you've gotten prescriptions and you read the side effects of the prescriptions, may cause vomiting, dizziness, diarrhea, constipation, like take your choice.
I just think it's a little bit ridiculous to call a national emergency something that, you know, when you believe executive action is needed, 19 deaths across the country, none of them related to anything that you're talking about. And the first person has died in New York State. And again, you have no idea what you're talking about because we don't even know what killed this kid. But yet this is a national health crisis. Think of all the other things that have occurred in New York State. This is a national health crisis.
Of course. Thanks very much, Dave. I appreciate the call. I don't know that vaping has much of a future, David, to be honest with you. I see that this is a business that is going to be put out of business in a big way real soon.
If I went on sovereign land at the natives, would they have the ability to sell vaping?
I believe the Native Americans would not be able to because they would have to abide by state law. If the feds enacted a ban, at that point, the natives would not be able to sell the vaping products, as I understand it.
If there's a federal.
A federal law.
But they don't have to abide by the state.
They don't have to abide by, let's see, did I get that right? They don't have to abide by the state law, but they do have to abide by the federal law. But it also depends on the circumstances of which you speak.
Phil looks someone like called in last week something. And said that the reservations were still selling vape products.
Yeah, somebody called and said that. But then the two people we spoke with from the industry said that if it went down in New York State, the natives couldn't do it in New York State. But if the feds did it at that point, once it's federal, the natives would have to abide.
But see, again, none of this would be controlled by federal or by state because we're talking about the black market. And if you're making something on your own or you're buying a product and constructing it, let me give you an example. Let's say in a state, a blue state, they decided to enact a law on rifles. And let's say that you couldn't buy any of the parts that you needed to make your rifle the way you wanted it to make. Even though you were, I don't know, breaking the state law, you go to other states to get parts and you mess around with your rifle and it doesn't comply with New York state law. How many rifles do you think are in Western New York like that?
Oh, I'm guessing more than a dozen.
Maybe more than 19, right? So it's not working for New York Safe. It's certainly not going to work for any other law in New York State. To me, it's just, again, it's this nanny state. The guy, he's lecturing us about vaping and his nicotine addiction, and now we're treating nicotine as if it's heroin. I mean, you live with the nicotine. I suffered through the disease of nicotine. What are you talking about? I want to put a tobacco product in my mouth, or I want to smoke a cigarette, or I want to do whatever. It's not like I'm roaming the earth looking for people breaking into cars looking for vape.
Right.
I mean, it's
right.
Ridiculous.
Well, this is what Cigar Dave talks
about. Is there a vape
about.
Recovery program that I could go into?
Vape recovery.
Go to Brylin and just say, hey, I've just cotton candy. I can't do it.
A vaping addict.
Yeah, see what they do to you.
803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Bowerly and Bellavia, you got us both. Here's Jerry in Gettysville. Jerry, you're on WBEN.
Thank you. Decent pitch, first of all, a few days ago, Mr. Bellavia over there in D.C., the first pitch of the game.
Yeah, it was pretty good, wasn't it?
Thanks.
Yeah, I just swung at it. It was outside a little bit short, but I
I didn't know I had a sinker in me, but I do.
Damn fine pitch. What's on your mind, Jerry?
I don't smoke, but there's a band of high schoolers in my neighborhood. And, hey, come on, try it. You know, I figured, okay, legal. They got me, whatever. Not that I need to be part of them. Well, I am already, but okay. So it's blueberry. Oh, my God, And so I take a little puff. Oh, God, just the faintest of puffs. And I got to tell you, I wish some of the callers would have experienced to be talking about this. It's just seared through my mouth in the back, and I just, oh, my God, I got to think that even cigarettes are better than this, guys. This might not be popular, but I applaud, whether it's inflammatory, exclamatory, you know, of him to do this.
But using that logic, Jerry, I would like to ban all vodka.
I hear you.
No, because I had the same experience the first time I drank vodka. I was like, this is horrible. What are the Russians doing? This is why we had a Cold War. The vodka is horrible. And then what happens? People start to mix it with different things, and you realize vodka is actually really good for you compared to the other alcohols, especially if you're on a diet or whatnot. And if you drink it responsibly with a little juice here and there, you don't taste the nastiness of what the vodka is, and you can enjoy yourself as a responsible adult. So I respect what you went through.
Just aside from all that legitimate, accoutrement to the topic, I am just speaking as a simple, experimental man.
Right. Yeah. I respect it. I respect where you're coming from. I know people that tried cigarettes for the first time and fell to their knees.
Or cigars.
Or anything, and they couldn't breathe. And then they end up, you know, being a smoker. Your body gets used to it the first time you do anything. I'm sure you have a crazy reaction to it. But, Jerry, you make a good point that there are some people that when you go to a concert, for example, you go see Phantom of the Opera. I saw someone that couldn't breathe because of all of the smoke.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't real smoke, of course. It was the
fog machine.
Cigarette and cigar. I don't smoke, but I feel it incumbent upon me. It's been about a month and a half. When I see the kids again, I'm going to just in a nice way and as good a way as I can, because I do.
There's no good way to do that, Jerry.
I have an influence they respect in me. It is, and I got to get this kid off. I mean,
let's rephrase that. But I think the important part is that when you, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. But when I'm saying.
Continuing.
Get kid off of the vaping of the is vaping. What he was saying.
No. Here's what I'm saying, though, Jerry. One of the things that Cuomo came across very clumsily, I would say, is that there's a way that we could talk to young people and mentor them without preaching to them, especially when Jerry, I don't know how old you are, but I could guarantee you there was a 15-year-old Jerry that was huffing and puffing on his parents' cigarettes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, so they're at the same age we are. We were, I should say. And they're kids. They're going to go out there and test the boundaries. Adults have to be adults. Bring them in. But at the end of the day, you know, what do you do when you catch your kid with a cigarette?
Oh.
You don't take them to the vape store.
No.
You say, get the cigarette. That's unacceptable.
Jerry, got to move on. Thanks very much. Appreciate your call and your point of view. And because you guys are always so nice to me, and I love you, the WBEN cash code word this hour is preview. PREVIEW. The word is preview, like when you go to a movie and you see the final preview before your movie starts. It's always a good thing. Text the word preview to 72881, 72881 for your shot at winning $1,000. The word is preview, and it's textable to us at 72881. So, we got a few things, David, other than vaping. Because, I mean, I'm fascinated by this whole vape issue, and I'm fascinated by what I call the vape hysteria that's going on right now across the country.
Yes.
And the conflation of a legitimate business with illegitimate businesses and using the illegitimate to try to put the legit people out of business. I mean, the whole dynamic and the political truisms are what fascinate me about this, and I feel really bad for the people in the vaping industry because I think they're going to all take a major, massive hit. It's going to be, no pun intended, I think it's going to be it's going to be a disaster for a lot of people in that industry. I mean, you can see the avalanche coming.
Yeah, you can. And can I just take a little side note here for a
second? Sure, you take as many as you want.
There was a news break. We're talking about the GM strike, and it's obviously affecting Western New Yorkers, and it's a really big deal. And they're trying to come up with 32 suggestions, or the union put out proposals, and GM walked away from the table. But whenever you interview a local union guy about negotiations that are obviously not happening right here in Buffalo, I always love how, you know, you get the impression that that guy was at the table. You know, like Lee Iacocca and a dude from Tonawanda were sitting down hammering out a deal. Of course, he's a representative. He's very well informed on what's going on. But that guy gave an interview that was like in the belly of the beast. Like, this is what's going on. This is what we're going to have to do. And I love that.
Well, we certainly hope that things get worked out with.
But he knows GM. He knows his stuff. He's well versed. He knows exactly what's going down, and he's representing. You know, we don't have to go to a national correspondent. We don't have to go to ABC. We go right here in our backyard.
Indeed. It is coming up on 4:25 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Like that time I was backstage at ZZ Top. We've got. Would you want to do that diva thing coming up after 4:30?
So it's not. I'd love to hear a story of, you know, celebrity divas, someone who you meet, and then you just can't believe that they're so entitled with what they do. But what I'm fascinated by is diva behavior from normal people, like on a plane.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Like, you know, just because you're sitting in a different section, you know, you think that you're better than everyone that's sitting behind you, or that, like, your space, or the people that just use, you know, at a restaurant. Like, some people treat servers as if they're servants. You know, they work for you for a period of time. If you've experienced diva behavior, or maybe it's a celebrity, or you're a server at a restaurant, and I don't want to hear names of anyone, but I would love to hear a story of someone who had a diva moment as a civilian, and you're looking at him like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
I mean, test my coffee.
If it's a famous person, you can tell us who it is. But as far as local restaurants and local places, probably better to leave that unsaid.
If you've ever seen someone forced to stir someone's coffee cream into their coffee at a restaurant,
you've seen a diva.
You have seen a diva moment.
It is 26 minutes after 4. David, while I'm doing this ad, would you shake my drink, please? Thank you. Shaken, not stirred.
Not stirred.
Yeah, Bowerly and Bella Via, News Radio 930 WBEN. So, we would love to hear from servers. We would love to hear from hosts or hostesses, maybe bartenders, people who have to deal with the general public, about people you have encountered on the job who might be just ordinary folk who basically have behaved like a diva in front of you and towards you, and you basically had to put up with it. And also, I suppose we could expand this to, hey, you've always wanted to meet somebody really super famous, and maybe you met somebody really super famous, and maybe they were really super cool, and maybe, just maybe, they turned you off. ZZ Top, you want me to tell the ZZ Top story?
Yeah, that broke your brain.
Well, it was a little bit disturbing because I thought ZZ Top, I thought they were going to be super cool. Good old boys from the South, the beards, the three-chord hit songs. I thought they were going to be really cool. But, we're backstage and somebody told me that the guys in ZZ Top don't even talk to each other when they're not on stage. It's like they have these three separate lives and they are not social with each other. And basically, when we were backstage, they posed for maybe three or four pictures with fans and then suddenly said, okay, bye, we're done. Just absolutely no personality, no charm whatsoever, no appreciation for the fans. And it was a real letdown. And it does affect, how we regard their music. I mean, there's still some ZZ Top songs I love when ZZ Top isn't playing them, I mean, they kind of, I wouldn't say they broke my heart, but it was a little bit disappointing. But I contrast that to the guys from a band like Three Dog Night. I had the chance to be backstage for Three Dog Night, and everybody in Three Dog Night was absolutely a total gentleman. Buffalo's own Corey Wells was extraordinarily nice. He had his family waiting for him, and yet he took time to talk with everybody who wanted to talk with him. Danny Hutton, everybody in the band was just terrific, and it made me love the music of Three Dog Night even more.
Right. I love the stories of like former Sabres. Right. These are like my, if you want to entertain me with a story, I don't want to hear the Saber because, most of these guys are really cool. But I always love the stories of the former tough guys that would like lose a fight in a hockey game against a professional hockey player and then end up on like Chippewa. And some guy on the streets thinks, oh, you're soft. You lost that fight against a professional athlete earlier today. Yeah. And they test out like a Saber and just get just floored. That's one of the – it's always like the guy that's like, oh, you're getting old or you're soft or you got beat up by Ty Domi tonight. You don't know anything. And then they just get floored in the – some bar on Chippewa or something.
It's got to be tough, especially for any professional athlete, it's got to be tough. I mean, more so, I think, in New York City or Philadelphia than in Buffalo. But, you just get the beer muscle phenomenon and anything can happen.
We have such proximity to these athletes, though. There's not a lot of places to go. And if you go to an upscale place, you're going to run in on game night. Orchard Park, you'll run into a Bills somewhere, someone that's connected to the team. But it's for some reason, even though those guys make millions of dollars, they all come from, it takes so much work and dedication and you very few and far between do you see, especially in a market like ours, professional athletes that are just divas and it just doesn't play well in this. We've had in the past guys who acted like that and everyone hated them. And they kicked him out of town.
Or they acted like that at first, and then they changed their act. They changed their routine and had become beloved members of the community.
Because Buffalo changed them, and they became part of the community. That's what happens. But, to me, it's always more fascinating when it's just a random stranger. And it makes you think, just by the way they're acting, who is this person? There's a hostess there, and everyone's going and putting you in the seat. And this person just walks right by the hostess with their party, finds an empty table, and just sits down.
Right.
Who do you – what are you? You run the Marvel comic book universe? You a multi-billionaire? No. You're an hourly employee who just doesn't believe that the rules apply to them.
Well, somebody once said, and I don't know the exact quote, but I'll paraphrase it, that you can always tell the people with new money because they always treat the help like crap. They treat anybody who is serving them or trying to help them like a second-class citizen.
Well, yeah, because you think the money's going to happen forever and that you're going to you've been on the other end of it, and this is your opportunity to, get revenge. But I always judge... If someone treats their server like garbage, that's a window into your soul.
Oh.
Absolutely. If you're on a first date and someone treats that, person that comes up and reads the specials and grabs the menu, strikes them, and, you know, tells them not to make eye contact. That is that's a sign that there might be a personality disorder.
You know, I've had people tell me over the years, women tell me over the years, in reference to bizarre dates they've been on, that one of the things they look for at the end of the meal, they want to see if the guy, who typically, even in 2019, does pay for the date, that's a topic in and of itself, but they see what kind of a tip the dude leaves. Because many of them have been in the hospitality industry, the restaurant industry, it's in some way in the service industry. And if the guy is a cheapskate with the tip, especially if the service was extraordinary and remarkable, that is taken into consideration as far as whether or not they want to see the dude again.
The tip is a marker of what?
Right, like, okay, if you get a $100 check and the guy leaves a $5 tip.
No, he's a horrible person.
Right, exactly. That is taken
into consideration. Why would I want to have children with that person?
Exactly.
You can't even round up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, what do you think about when people ask you to round up for a charity? Do you ever do that?
You know, I don't do it because when I donate to charity, I like to get my receipt for the tax man.
Oh, there we go. So you're not doing it. You're doing it for you. You're doing it for your tax.
I do it. Well, I do it for the taxes. But, I generally don't like it because on the telethon or whatever, you know, the CEO of whatever company will come present the check as if it was generated by the company instead of the customers of the company.
Right.
And it always seemed to me to be a little bit disingenuous. So I'd rather give more but have it, you know, get credit for it at the end of the year on the tax return.
See, I'm one of those guys that I'll do it as long as I know what the amount was, how much they're rounding up.
Well, it could only be 99 cents.
No, I understand that, but I'm more apt to do it if it's like, you know, 25 to 30 cents.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But you won't do it if it's like 75 or 80 cents?
No, because now I'm questioning, is that the right number? You know, what are we doing here? Why? I just feel like it's if I'm getting a burger for the kids or something, you're now asking me to make, you know, a charitable donation that has nothing to do with the actual burger chain.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, Dad, what's really going on?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm weirded out by that.
No, well, you know, but I give like a lot of stuff. As I declutter the house, I give a lot of stuff away, you know, to places like Salvation Army or AMVETS or what have you. And, you know, people are always happy to be on the receiving end, and you always get the receipt. And you're doing something good for other people, but you're also doing something good for yourself. I mean, that's why you get the tax deduction for charitable contributions with recognized charities, because the government sees the wisdom in giving people a break, albeit however small, for being involved in the community.
So we're talking about diva behavior, whether it's a celebrity that acted poorly, or if it's just a civilian off the street, normal Joe that acts like a diva. Have you ever seen a celebrity in a closed environment, a couple people come up, and the celebrity will sign something that the person didn't want them to sign?
No, I haven't seen that.
That is one of the greatest things in the world. I saw at a casino, there was a famous person, and a woman went up to get a picture, but she was holding like documents that she was probably they were there for like job some sort of seminar, and she was holding her binder, and this guy just took out a marker and signed her binder, and she was like, "What are you doing? Like, I didn't even want that, you know. I'm just here because my friend's here."
Well, and then, you know, there are certain people that, you know, I want to meet them, but in a way I don't want to meet them. I would love to meet Ian McShane, the actor from John Wick, of course, right, and, you know, my favorite TV show. I would love to meet him. But if he turned out to be, you know, mean to me, you know, nasty to me, I'd be devastated.
Yeah, I mean, again, to me, it's like if someone's having a bad day, they're rude or whatever. That, you know, I get it. That does affect the way you see someone, and but they are probably mobbed by thousands of people. They might have had a head cold. Maybe they got bad news. Something horrible happened. I get it, right? But what's inexcusable is when it's like a person that doesn't have to deal with any of that.
Right.
You're not a famous person, and you get on a plane and you act like an absolute, like you're hitting the, how many times are you allowed, unless the oxygen mask has dropped, how many times are you allowed to hit the flight attendant button?
I would go with about none.
I don't think I've never touched the flight attendant button in my life. Ever. Never been a need. you know? But there are people that use that like it's, hey, can I get a refill on this Coke? Like, what? Would you ever have the presence of mind to think that everyone got their free beverage in a plastic cup on a plane, but you're done with yours, you're going to hit the flight attendant button and ask for more Sprite?
Yeah.
I just think that's just like the most diva behavior in the universe.
Yeah, hitting the flight attendant button, unless it is a dire emergency or close to an emergency. You know, that's the equivalent to me of like snapping your fingers like Paulie Walnuts used to do in The Sopranos at a restaurant.
If you were sitting in coach, would you ever use the first class bathroom?
I did accidentally once. I was told never to do it again.
What do you mean?
I walked into the first class bathroom. I was young. I didn't know the difference. And I just walked right up, you know, from the back of the plane all the way to the front lavatory and was told, politely, I might add, that that was for the first class people.
And then the other thing, too, is like when people rearrange your stuff, you get there early, you do your part, you put your stuff in the overhead compartment, and then someone who gets there late decides to move your stuff around?
Oh.
Move it to another overhead compartment because
not
their
cool.
jacket? Like, what are you doing?
Not cool.
What are you, Sir Walter Riley? Who the hell do you think you are?
No, you do not. Absolutely, positively, do not play that game.
That's a diva act. You don't do that. You don't manhandle another person's bag.
No.
You don't throw it into another thing because you want to make space for your sport check.
No, it's their stuff, and I would no sooner touch their stuff on a plane than I would their stuff by walking into their house and adjusting their TV.
You got the same deal on Southwest that I did. Free to move around does not mean you touch my overhead bag.
All right, we will take your calls. A couple of lines open right away after we come back from the break. The phone number, of course, is 803-0930, 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Have you seen ordinary people acting like divas and the celebrities that either won you over even more or turned you off? It is Bowerly for Jamestown Mattress. Jamestown Mattress is where you go for the best quality mattress at the lowest possible price. Jamestown Mattress makes their mattresses. Oh, David, shall we take some telephone calls?
That'd be fun. Let's do that.
All right. Also, remember, guys, if you've seen real people acting like divas, we would love to know what they did. But let's go to Mark in Buffalo. Mark, you're on WBEN.
Hey, thanks, guys. Well, I'll be quick. I've got a good, bad one and a good one. I was young, very young, and my dad told me, look, put some nice clothes on, because I love drums. I love to play the drums. And so he said, we're going to go out tonight. I said, all right. So we went out, Lovejoy. There was a place called a Landmark, and I still didn't know what it was. So we get in the lobby, and I could see the picture of Buddy Rich, you know. And so that was special because he's a great drummer. So we got in, and, you know, before I even tell you, I've heard he's had bad encounters with a lot of people. So we get in, get an orchestra. They were phenomenal. So, now he's going to take a break. He comes down a couple stairs, and, you know, somebody asked him for an autograph, and he was all really nice in front of everybody. So my father says, as he walked, you know, to the dressing room or whatever, he had to go through a lot of, it was dark in the room he had to go through. Obviously, it was a dining room, you know. And so my father goes, go ask him for his autograph. I really didn't want to, but I did. And when we got near where, you know, it was just me and him. And I just said, buddy, could I have your autograph? And he turned around and threw his hands up. He goes, later, like that. And I never forgot that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I was 10 years old, you know?
Oh, not cool.
No, and here's a beautiful one. My cousin lives in Florida, and this is about President Trump, nice one. And so one of his friends out in they're around Fort Lauderdale, when President Trump was campaigning, as busy as he was and security issues and everything, one of my cousin's best friends, went up, and he got to meet him for a second. And so he said, President Trump, he wasn't the president then. He said, Donald Trump, my mother would love to meet you. He goes, okay, is she near here? And so he brought her up. He goes, go get her. Well, here's the beauty of this. He said she wanted to take a picture with you. And there happened to be a Walgreens across the street. And he said, I tell you what, if you can go across the street and get one of those, you know, those little cameras, you know what I mean, right? I will wait here. And she bring her bring her. And he actually waited, and they took a picture together. And I thought that was something really nice.
Wow. That is a remarkable story. It does not surprise me.
Excellent. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, great call. Thank you. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Remember being, well, the irrelevant story.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.